Merry Christmas, everyone. And welcome to Christmas Eve service here at the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm the Reverend Sarah Scher, and I'm joined up here tonight in leading the service by our Director of Children's Religious Exploration, Rebecca Gammons. Long-time members or first-time visitors, you are all very, very welcome. We're so glad to see you. Please join us for cookies and cider downstairs after the service so we can have a little time to wish each other a Merry Christmas and say hello. Also know that if this is your first time here, we would love to see you at one of our regular Sunday morning services at 10:30 every week. It's not completely full in here, but more people may trickle in. And one of the things that a lot of people don't know is these are not actually chairs. I know they look like chairs, but they're actually benches made of chairs. So you can scoop together and have more than one exact person per chair unit. So know that you can scoot if it gets cozy. Now as we begin our service, I will light our flaming chalice, which is a symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith. And the chalice lighting words this evening are from Edward Sorel. So it is light and life and love we see in a Christmas fire, and in the Christmas tree, and in the Christmas child. It is light and life and love that we celebrate. Now please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first Christmas carol of the evening, 247, Joy to the World. Oh, excuse me, 245, thank you. Joy to the world. Welcome to our service of story and song as we celebrate this Christmas Eve. The word Christmas brings many memories and symbols to mind. For me, this holiday is all about trees and decorating, light, about family and friends, special foods and cookies, and the music. For others, it's all about the gifts, or the social events, or the story of the Christ child. Each of us has unique holiday traditions, memories, rituals that speak to us. It's our relationship to these symbols that give meaning to the season. Sometimes, as adults, we choose to celebrate in a different way than when we were a child. Some of us hang on to one part of the celebration and embrace only that piece. Our ways of celebrating Christmas are as unique and diverse as we are. Tonight we're going to focus on three of these Christmas symbols: gifts, songs, and a special baby. All of these symbols center around the birth of the special baby, whose birth is foretold in the Bible. And I will read you one of those stories from Matthew, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 15. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And they called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own countries by another road. Gifts. The holiday story itself is about gifts. The season of Christmas is a season of giving and receiving. Gifts are part of the Christmas story. There is delight when you find just the right thing, and there are challenges with shopping for those who are harder to please. This season provides an opportunity to teach generosity to children and to help them focus on those who are less fortunate. We come to learn that many gifts are intangible, like happy memories and experiences with loved ones. We learn some gifts have an unexpected outcome, like the little child fascinated with the box and oblivious to the presence inside. My most memorable gift was received probably 60 years ago. On that Christmas morning, this little girl opened a box that foretold her future. On the outside, it proclaimed, "Play school." And inside, there were composition books and little slates with chalk and a red pencil and more. And so a teacher was born. I forced my younger siblings to play school, and I never stopped. Although my methods may have changed, I've been an educator ever since. But I fondly remember that gift that opened my eyes to my calling. Well, as the story Rebecca just read from the book of Matthew, there was these guys who, in that edition of the Bible, are referred to as wise men. In the oldest books, they're referred to as magi, and they brought special gifts to the baby in this story. You know, when most of us are going to buy gifts for a new baby, we bring toys, we bring blankets, maybe diapers. If you really want to be fancy, you bring a stroller. But in the Bible, they talk about the gifts the magi brought to the baby Jesus, and they were gifts like none of those. They were nothing like rattles and teddy bears. The magi, remember, the word magi comes from the same word as the word magic. And it was said that these guys could predict the future by looking at the movements of the stars. In this ancient story, the magi, they bring gifts that tell who they thought this baby would be when he grew up. Gold. Gold is very beautiful and very valuable. Gold is used to collect riches and for making crowns. It is truly a gift you would give a king if you were someone who went around giving gifts to kings. Frankincense is a tree resin that, when it's hardened, has been traded as a valuable, sweet-smelling incense for thousands of years. In the ancient Middle East where Jesus was born, it was used by priests in special times of prayer and the sacred ceremonies inside the tabernacle at the temple in Jerusalem. Its sweet fragrance was said to be symbolic of the name of God. And myrrh. Myrrh is another tree resin. In the ancient Middle East, it was known as being a strong and soothing medicine. It was sometimes called the balm of Gilead. Myrrh has been used for centuries as an antiseptic, used to dress wounds and sometimes as a painkiller. This is one of those things every good healer would carry. So the Magi in this ancient story, found in the book of Matthew, they don't bring baby Jesus typical gifts because the folks who wrote that story wanted us to know that Jesus was not a typical baby. In that story, the Magi bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. They bring gifts for a king, gifts for a priest, and gifts for a healer to this new baby. In this baby, they saw a great leader for his people, like a king. They saw a holy person, like a priest. And they saw someone who was compassionate and would bring healing to his community. It was their way of telling us their hopes and dreams for that one special baby. Now, please stand as you're in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn 259, We Three Kings. To read for you tonight that actually I haven't read this story at Wolf before. It's a story called The Emperor's Tea. It's by Harold S. Stewart. It was so cold, the snow squeaked as Professor Stone walked up the hill from the university to his home. He was late for supper, having spent longer in the library than he expected. Turning the corner to his house, he noticed many lights and cars parked around his house. Then he remembered. His wife was having a Christmas party. He should have been home hours ago. Professor Stone entered the basement door, kicked off his boots, hung his overcoat on the nail, slipped up the stairs into the kitchen, and tried to appear as if he'd been at the party all along. Almost immediately, someone cried out, "Here he is! Open it! Open it!" And others tugged and pulled the professor into the dining room, and up on the table, where he saw a rather large and somewhat odd-looking package. The dean said, "Careful, Stone, I want those Japanese stamps." The professor looked at the package. In the corner, there were many beautiful stamps, Japanese stamps. Cutting them out with his penknife, he handed them to the dean. "You know," said the professor, "I think this is from that Japanese student we had last year. I seem to remember he was going to send me something." "Open it! Open it!" the guest cried. Inside the heavy brown paper package was a white package tied with a broad white ribbon. "What a beautiful silk ribbon," said someone. "May I have it?" The professor's wife said, "Be careful with that wrapping, dear. I want that rice paper." As the professor handed the ribbon to the person who wanted it, he said, "The Japanese student said his father worked for the emperor and could send me..." The sentence went unfinished. As the rice paper came away, there was a beautiful lacquered box painted with many lovely scenes. "What a splendid piece of Japanese art," someone said. "Perhaps you'll lend it to the museum." And the professor said, "Sure, but it wasn't the box the student was going to send me. I think it was..." "Oh, open it, open it," they cried. While opening the lacquered box, the professor drew out a long roll of beautifully patterned silk. "Oh, my," said someone, "how lovely. There's enough there for draperies." "It isn't the silk," the professor said. "It was something of the emperor. It was..." "Oh, careful how you unroll that," someone said. "There's a box in it." So there was. A carved ebony box. And the professor stood up on a chair. Holding the box high in the air, he announced, "I am going to keep this box, for though I know it is not the gift, I know what's in it. It's tea." Our Japanese student said his father worked for the Emperor of Japan, would send me some of the Emperor's own tea. While opening the box, the professor showed his guest inside. And indeed, there seemed to be a box full of tea. "It's just in time for tea," said the professor's wife. "I'll make up some of the emperor's tea." And she did, and the guests all had a cup, and when they tasted it together, it was awful. Each was polite and drank it, and each was polite and asked for more. The professor's wife dipped into the ebony box. "Well, what's this? There's something buried in the box. Something hard." Well, digging in, she found a small, exquisite ivory box. And in the ivory box, there was tea. This tea smelled wonderful, and the tea tasted, well, no one had ever had tea that good. Far off in Japan, when the student's father told him of the kind professor, the emperor agreed the gift should be sent, and it should be, and he ordered his chamberlain to deliver tea to the student's father. The chamberlain thought, "Well, what an exquisite gift. I must put in an appropriate box." So he took a beautiful ivory box from his own home and put in the tea. The student's father took the ivory box and said to himself, "Such a gift must be protected with great care." So he placed the ivory box in his favorite ebony box and filled the empty space with dried mulberry leaves. The student's wife wrapped the ebony box in yards and yards of patterned silk, thinking, "Even this good gift, this is a good gift for the emperor's tea. It needs to be carefully wrapped." And the student took the bundle of silk and fastened it in a lacquer box, handing it to his servant, saying, "This package is emperor's tea. It is going to Professor Stone." Knowing how precious the gift was, the servant wrapped the lacquer box in rice paper and then tied it with his own silk ribbon. At the post office, he said to the postman, "Think of it. This is the gift of the emperor's tea going to a professor in America." Well, the postman picked out the most beautiful stamps for the package. a valuable package with many charming things. But the scene, in the essence, the gift was the emperor's tea. And so it is with the lovely wrappings and the minds of the people who put their precious gem of Christmas. Each of us must unwrap the gift of Christmas for ourselves, careful not to mistake one of the gifts for the other. Now I want to introduce you to somebody special. This is Gloria. I got this doll for Christmas when I was about 3 years old. And I still have her today. You see, she's looking a little worse for wear. But she's very special to me. She wears vintage baby clothes, and you can see she's had a few haircuts. Well, as I said, I got this for Christmas. It was under the tree for me when I was 3 years old. And I would like you to try and guess what song I heard in church right before I opened up this present. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn 231, Angels We Have Heard on High. Happen. Here at WUF, at Westfield Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, we have an allotment of money that we refer to as the CareNet Emergency Fund. If someone in the WUF community faces an unexpected medical bill they can't afford to pay, or needs help with rent money right after being laid off, we're here to give them a little bit of emergency financial help, and that help is confidential. It is our tradition that your generous gifts and the offering basket on Christmas Eve support the CareNet Emergency Fund throughout the year. If our offering takers will come forward, your gifts can now be received. About Christmas carols. Music is such a major part of the Christmas experience. We watch or attend winter concerts. We have holiday playlists. There's even an all-Christmas radio station. Christmas carols make the season. The music playing in the background helps me set the tone as I go about my daily tasks, humming, singing, anticipating. Pagan carols were sung thousands of years ago, particularly during the winter solstice celebrations as people danced around stone circles. To carol originally meant to dance around something, and has come since then to also mean a song of praise or joy. In the early years of the Christian church, music was written to celebrate Christmas, but it was written and sung in Latin. Now, this was not a language that most people could understand, and the music really didn't catch on. 1,000 years passed, and then in 1223, St. Francis of Assisi began presenting nativity plays that went from town to town, telling the story of Jesus' birth through song. The choruses were often in the language of the people attending, and everyone could join in. People enjoyed the singing, and the idea spread rapidly to other European countries. However, in 1640, the Puritans came along, and they thought that celebrating Christmas and singing such songs was sacrilegious and inappropriate. Christmas celebrations were illegal in the colonies, now known as our East Coast. Carol singing stopped. People no longer sang these songs in public, but some continued in secret, and so the songs stayed alive. Several hundred years later, in the mid-1800s, many of these songs were collected and distributed both in this country and England, and people began gathering in small groups, walking around and singing, caroling in a way that many of us may remember from earlier times. Unitarians joined others in writing holiday music that stays with us to this day. Now Christmas carols are not only sung in churches, but in shopping centers, restaurants, and at the skating rink. People everywhere can lift their voices in joyous song. And I invite you to rise in body or spirit now and do just that as we sing Deck the Halls. Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Melanie Madigan. I'm the choral director here at WOV. Our first song tonight is called Hey Ho, Nobody Home. And you'll hear us asking you over and over again to give us soul cakes. Going a soling was a Christian practice carried out in many English towns on Halloween and at Christmas. The practice dates back to medieval times and was continued through the 1930s. People, mostly children and the poor, would go from house to house singing. The cakes were used as payment for the beggars to say prayers for the families departed. The second song we're going to sing tonight is called Noel, and it is a newly composed song by Portland singer-songwriter Naomi LaViolette. Thank you.
Thank you.
So as you heard before, the story of Christmas as it comes from the book of Matthew, but the story of Christmas that comes in Luke is just a little bit different. So I'd like to just share both of them. This is from the New International Translation. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a baby. While they were there, time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that is cause for great joy to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all with whom his favor rests." The angel left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. If the children would like to come up, you can help me tell this story. If any of you younger people want to come up, and it's not. Oh, good. Oh, good. We're gonna tell it up here. Yes, come on up. Come on up. And I'm gonna need some help in telling this story. So I have some characters I'm gonna ask you to hold and bring them up when the time comes. So who would like to have the angel? All right, Jason. Hang on to them. We have some of these wise men kings to come later. Who'd like to bring some of them?
One, two, three.
And their bride. So we want to bring the camel with them too. Thank you. We have, you may get an idea of where this story came from. We haven't heard about these folks yet. These are the shepherds. Would you be willing to bring the shepherds? Thank you. And here's the lamb that the shepherd is taken care of. And we need somebody. You want to hold baby Jesus? Thank you. Okay. So some of you may have, how many of you think you know this story that I'm going to tell? A few of them. Okay. Well, this is a story that you've heard in a couple of other versions today. And it's a story about the way I heard the Christmas story when I was a little girl. So you may hear parts of some of the stories you've heard and parts of the others. So, here we go. 2,000 years ago, there was a woman named Mary and her husband named, what do you think? Joseph, that's right. And they had journeyed a long way with their mule to Bethlehem to register, to pay taxes. And they traveled a long, long time, and Mary was pregnant. She was very big, and it was very uncomfortable to ride this pony all the way, far, far, far. Well, they finally got to their destination, and they went to look for a room. And what do you think happened? What do you think? They didn't have a room. There were no rooms. And so the innkeeper said, "I do have a place you can stay. I have a stable in back. You can go in back in there and sleep with the cows and the horses." And so Mary and Joseph went out to the stable, and they cleared a little spot and a bed for their baby. And the night passed. Now, meanwhile, While they're sitting there waiting, there are shepherds out in the fields, and they are washing their sheep. And then in the night, the baby Jesus was born. So can the baby Jesus come up here? I'll bring baby Jesus up. And a big star shone up in the sky over the stable where the baby was sleeping. Thank you. And the shepherds who were out in the fields saw that star, and they came closer to see what was there. Can you bring the shepherds up? The shepherds. Yeah, that's right. And when they saw the baby, they were awed and full of praise for him. Thank you. Now, somebody else was singing about that star. You want to bring that? There were angels. And we hear that the angels sang praises and hosannas and kind of stood up here in the sky, didn't they? And sang down to welcome the baby Jesus. And there were some wise men traveling a long, long way with their camel. And they followed the star, and they found the baby Jesus, and they gave him the gifts that you've heard about before. And these figures are a set called a creche. And lots of people who celebrate Christmas have some kind of set of these figures in their home to help them remember this story. So thank you for coming up to help me tell it. Now, before you go back, we are going to sing a song now. We're going to sing the song, Away in a Manger. But we have some motions for it, and I'm going to teach them to you. So you can either stay up here, or if you'd rather go back with your grown-ups, you can go back with your grown-ups. And I'm going to ask the grown-ups to sing with us, too. So the way it goes is this. Away in a manger, no crib or a bed. We've got a baby here in our arms. We're rocking it. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. Look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Let's try it twice, everybody. Please rise up.
I don't know about some of you, but that's the first Christmas carol I ever learned. Back about the time I got Gloria. If you look on the back of your order of service, you'll find a responsive reading. So I'd love us for us to join together. It's called Emmanuel. I'll read the italic and you can read the Roman. Emmanuel is God with us. Who is your Emmanuel? Who is your God is with us? The one who you were promised. The one you've been waiting for. For the ancient prophet Isaiah, he was a boy soon to be born, who would guide the people of Judah back to peace and harmony with God. He would bring hope for victory and greatness in the tribe. He would be a gift from God to his chosen people. Who is your Emmanuel? Your God is with us.
For Christians, He is Jesus of Nazareth. It is a Christmas story who grew up to be a remarkable teacher among the Jewish people, whose ideas of love, forgiveness, and justice changed the world forever.
Who is your Emmanuel? Your God is with us.
Perhaps your Emmanuel is a political leader standing for the rights of the oppressed, of Martin Luther King, of Gandhi, of Mother Jones. Perhaps in their work with people, you see the God is with us.
Who is your Emmanuel? Your God is with us.
Perhaps your Emmanuel is in Christ, bringing transcendence to the human spirit and lifting our hopes and dreams into the light. As J.F. Fox, the Martha Graham, of William Shakespeare, perhaps in the presence of great beauty and creativity, you feel God is with us.
Who is your Emmanuel? Your God is with us.
Perhaps it is a child, created from our bodies, a child who is filled with the potential to do every great thing. Your promise from God that the world is full of justice and beauty. For in the presence of a child, we do and feel that God is with us all.
Now please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn 246, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Activity, we're going to turn in the teal hymnal, the other hymnal, to hymn 61. Hymn 61. The children come, and so they had been coming. Always the same way they come, born of the seed of a man and a woman.
angels herald their beginnings. No prophets predict their future courses. No wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind. Night, a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers, sitting beside their children's cribs, feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end? Come to a close, and we prepare to move forth to the next part of this year's holiday experience. I hope our songs have filled your spirits with joy, and our words have given you comfort or some food for thought. In religious education, we end our stories with wondering questions, and I would leave these for you. I wonder how gift experiences touch our lives. How does it feel to give, to receive? I wonder, how does the power of music touch your heart? I wonder, can you allow that message of hope, of possibility that a baby represents, speak to you? Can it speak to our needy world? I wish that joy and peace follow you as you leave this place. And as we move into the darkness, may our merged flames create enough light so that all can see. And may it remind us that we are not alone.
Now, as is our tradition, we will do the candlelight silent night. You'll notice your order of service has the words this year, so we know which verse we're on. What we'll do is I will light my candle and Rebecca's candle. We will take and light the edge of each of your rows. You pass the light down. We will stand together and sing through the verse once. Then we will begin to process outside. We'll process down the stairs and then make a circle on the patio for our closing words. What I want to tell you is if you don't do well with stairs, there is a way down around through the parking lot and down the driveway. So stairs do not have to get in your way.
Who is